Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. Very, very happy that you're here today. Joining me, Steve Arterburn, is Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich.
Hey, guys.
Hello, guys.
How are you?
Good.
I should say,
always have
I should say girl and guy.
Yes,
you know, because you're not a guy at all.
No. But
it's just kind of one of those slang things.
Whatever. I always have a little zip in my spirit when you guys are on.
Except after that intro.
I want to jump right in and talk to you about something.
We're ready.
Courageous Parenting is this weekend. And I think the adult child is becoming a bigger and bigger problem. I don't think it was always the case that it is today. I think it really is bigger and bigger. And, you know, we're going to talk about that because here's my two cents, and I want to hear yours. The courageous parent looks at the big picture, and we'll talk about that. I'll talk about that. Here's the thing. You might think it's your job to tell your grown children something that you know, and actually they know you know. But it could be the thing that causes them to break off all ties with you. And now you don't get to see the grandkids. And if your kids are that sick, they need you there. So that's one of the things I'm going to talk about, is seeing the big picture so that you can continue to influence the grandchildren of your adult children. Jill, talk about what you're going to talk about.
I'm going to be talking about solo parenting.
Mm-hmm.
So being a parent who carries the burden or the weight of the parenting. So that could be a single person. That could be a married person.
Yeah.
Either way. So I'm going to be talking about some of the challenges in that area.
And Mylon, you won't be there, but when we mention courageous parenting and adult children, what do you think?
Well, you bring up a very interesting point, whether you knew it or not, by asking or making the statement adult child. Mm-hmm. We have to distinguish, do I have an adult son or daughter, or do I have an adult child who may be 20 going on 14, who may be 30 going on 17.
Right.
And that is where we really have to be able to have a solid look in order to be able to help them. But then that requires that I have a sense of being an adult myself, if I'm the parent. And I think all three of us here have run into adults that we look and we say, I wonder how old this person is really on the inside.
Right.
And, you know, maybe they're, you know, Kay and I looked at each other the other day and about what a group of gals were saying. We said, that's so junior high, you know, what they were doing. And it is really sad, but some people still operate at that level. And so you can't lift a child any further than you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, here's the deal. It's a challenge, and there are answers, and then there are some really good answers. And we've been working on this, and I think that you're going to find some really good answers on Saturday. If you join,
I think it's a great thing for people to be a part of. Yeah, adulting is really hard for kids.
It is hard.
Yeah.
So, no matter what, we're going to be there, and we're going to be talking about kids of all ages and what it is like to do this courageous parenting. The subtitle is Transforming Relationships with Your Adult Sons and Daughters. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. That is our number. We're going to be here for 2 hours with Mylon Yurkovic, the author of How We Love, Dr. Jill Hubbard with The Secrets Women Keep, and other books we'll talk about after this. Call us, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're not going to beat you up if you join us for this single parenting and adult working with adult children or married parenting as a single. It's all in there. We're going to talk about it this weekend. But, you know, Mylon, at the break, you mentioned something which is really important, I think, for people to hear and aspire to. And what was that?
Well, just a little backdrop. When we see people that are triggered and reactive in marriage relationships, and they're in our offices, and we see two people suddenly highly reactive, I will stop them often and ask them, how old are you right now? And they will say, you know, well, I'm 10 and I'm 12, you know. And so I go, okay, so that's really what's going on here. The two of you just got reduced to 10 and 12-year-olds. And then I remember, just because of this being a very conscious aspect of our growth, both Kay's and mine, I'll never forget one day I was sitting in my office and I said, I finally feel like I'm 58 and 58, that the inside matches the outside. And it was just one of those things that hit me and dawned on me, and it was an exciting time, but it was also something that was hard fought for, because I started off adulthood in a ditch, in a hole, you know, it minus numbers,
right? Yeah, know,
below zero.
Which a lot of us do.
And I didn't really start growing until I was about 39, 38 years old. So it took, you know, time to work through the deficits and then into a positive zone. You guys might disagree with that, that I'm somehow in a positive zone.
No, but look, it begs the question, what do I feel at my age versus the actual age? And do I have a strategy to bring the two closer together?
Yeah.
And what's standing in my way of that strategy? And what am I afraid of for implementing that strategy would be some things. Well, let's go to the phones, and how about we talk with, this is going to be Kathy. Kathy is, well, she listens on Sirius XM, channel 131, 10 a.m. Pacific time, and she's from Sacramento, California. Kathy, welcome to New Life Live. Glad you're with us. How could we help?
Thank you. I'm a first-time caller. Been meaning to call for a long time, so I'm just grateful to talk to you guys. My question is this. I'm wondering if there's something different I need to be doing in my marriage with a husband who will not take any personal responsibility when I share with him how I've been hurt by him. He blames me and then turns it back on me and becomes really condescending, angry, and mean. And I've just been dealing with a lot of grief and loss over that.
And let me ask you this. When he's angry and even mean, well, what's been your reaction to that kind of treatment?
Yeah, great question. So I've been in my own recovery program for quite a long time. I've been in 5 years in Al-Anon, and I've been learning a lot about myself. And so I honestly still struggle with, sometimes I get in the cage with the gorilla and I engage by arguing because I'm still stunned by how he can talk to me. But most of the time I'm practicing just removing myself, letting him know that, you know, I'm not going to talk to him when he talks to me like that. And then I remove myself and I practice my own self-care.
Yeah.
But what happens is, my recovery is, I want to be able to tell my husband the truth in love. And so usually the next day, or when things have just calmed down, I will share with him, you know, ask him what was happening for him and that it hurt me, what he did or what he said. And almost every time it's he gets very defensive. It doesn't matter how I couch it, how I say it, using just I words. And he turns it back on me. Mm-hmm. So,
So what's the question? What's the question for us then?
So the question is, I mean, I have been, like I said, he's an alcoholic in sobriety for 2 years, but no recovery. I know that I can only change myself and I can't change him. So my question is, I'm wondering if there's something I'm missing here, and anything else that I could be doing, to help bring some kind of intimacy into our marriage and trust. And I know it takes two, obviously. We've mm-hmm. worked on how we love, the online course, and we've done three of the lessons, but
okay.
It is
I think we get it.
Resistance there.
Yeah. We want to help you here.
So, Kathy, I hear you doing a lot of good things, and having, you know, been in Al-Anon, and you're working on yourself, and you're trying to approach your husband in different ways, and you're coming to him and wanting to share these hurts and things, which is a healthy thing to do. But like you just said, it does take two people. And it sounds like no matter how you say it, your husband feels attacked. Or he hears, perhaps, that he's bad, wrong,
yes.
horrible, the worst, right? Because that's often something people hear when they become so defensive and can't receive any feedback. So, there's a lot of, you know, if your husband were really working a program, then this would be more workable. It's hard when he's not, because, again, it isn't just a magic way of saying it. But I think one thing that might be good, instead of trying to, you know, tell him about your hurts because he can't hear that, I would ask him what it feels like to him when you bring up anything about him that feels less than favorable. And see if you can maybe understand that experience for him, because he goes south really quickly. And again, I think he goes into all of his badness, which is common amongst people who are alcoholic and who are just dry, but not truly in recovery and sober.
Mylon, you have a thought here.
Yes. Jill's right on point, I believe, that it's an inquiry into him, how he feels. And I'm not a gambler, but I would bet, you know, 99.9% chance that history is very involved here, that his history has a history of shame, of humiliation, of embarrassment, of being somehow hurt by other people. So to Jill's point, when you say anything that touches on the badness or the bad parts of him, or that's how he takes it as bad. You're not mm-hmm. saying it's bad.
No.
You're just saying it hurts me. But it touches that place. This is called a trigger, where it gets pulled
right.
up from the history and it's in the present. I would also suggest that with that, he probably has a very high level of shame. Mm-hmm. And because shame is this belief that there's something wrong with me or I'm flawed, and that I am inherently, there's a problem with me. Now, we also, this begs the question, why? What is he drinking to cover up?
Mm-hmm.
And so drinking and any kind of an addiction is usually an attempt to make bad feelings go away.
Right.
So if you will, these all somewhat tie together. The last thing would be to say, if you really want to make progress as a couple, you have to get into couples therapy with somebody that understands history, because a lot of therapists don't go to history. They just want to repair the present.
Yeah.
And you really need to work with someone that works with history.
Okay, let me ask you this. Is he willing to do anything with you to get better?
He starts and then he stops when it gets too hard.
Okay. You know,
we've been to many counselors over our 38 years of marriage, and as soon as it gets hard, he drops out. I want to keep going because we're getting to the comfort circle,
right?
In how we love, but I'm telling you, every time we go through it, he literally has to take a walk to prepare himself.
Yeah,
this is so it's so hard for him, and I can see it's painful for him
right.
to even go to an emotional place.
Okay, so Kathy, did he have a hard childhood?
No, he wouldn't say. He almost had like this idyllic childhood where there was no emotion shown in the home, no highs, no lows, flat line.
Okay, so but you see, that's the absence of something,
right?
You know,
that isn't idyllic.
It's problematic.
It's problematic. That's an absence of emotionality, and so he has to gear up in order to face. The realities.
Right, and you can so appreciate that struggle. It's so much easier for you to go there, but for him, when you see that pain, and I would really be acknowledging that, that you see how difficult it is, and having grown up in a household where they didn't teach him about emotion, that he's really starting, you know, it's like he's going to a foreign land.
Yeah. So, here's my suggestion. My suggestion to you is to see if he, you and him, could go to some speaker AA meetings together. Why? Well, it's something to do together. Secondly, he's going to hear people tell their story. And he may not feel comfortable with that because he's got a pretty crummy story right now. Then the second thing I would suggest is saying to him, I see how hard all of this is. Why don't we just go to Intimacy and Marriage for a weekend, and let's just get all the hard stuff compounded right there inside of a weekend? Because I feel so badly for you. But I've heard of people that hated each other, and they go to that, and things are different. We don't hate each other. I think they could be really different. And I think it would be a way for you not to have to feel so much pain. I hate it for you. Would you do it? So that's a couple of suggestions.
I would love to do the Intimacy in Marriage. We've gone to a marriage retreat in many years past, and we almost walked out. He almost walked out because he got really offended by something they asked him to sign. Because he is my pre-believing husband.
Well, look, here's the deal. We don't have things like that. And it is extremely rare that anybody would walk out. So at one point, I asked people to go before you divorce. But with you, I'm saying, to him, you're saying, I don't want you to have to experience this. But also, you guys don't know what you're missing. He doesn't know what he's missing. What a horrible way to live. It doesn't have to be that painful. So, I hope you would suggest that. And then I'm going to go ahead, Joe.
Well, I was just going to say, and Kathy, there is a small willingness in him. There is some hope because just the fact that he goes on a walk to gear up, he's willing to engage. He's just really afraid.
Yeah.
And
you're
that's firm. Where all the defensiveness is.
You bet. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to send you Life Recovery Bible, and I'll send you the workbook, and I'll send you Soul of a Hero, all of that for him. You have How We Love, and I think that's so good you're going through it. But, you know, a lot of people, they find that opening up that book, their life is so far from what marriage is supposed to be that it's painful just to open up the book. And that's a great indicator. We got to get to the workshop. Some people read the book and they go, oh, well, that's interesting. I didn't know. I see that about you or me. And it kind of improves the way that they are married and they have a different kind of value for a good marriage. But when it's this thing of it's traumatic just to open the book, that's when you need to let us help you and come to the workshop. You can find out about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Well, we're here another 40 minutes, and we've got calls lined up, and I really hope we can get to everyone. I think we will. So hang on there. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. That's our number. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Artiber here. Really glad you've joined us here today. 1-800-229-3000. 40 minutes left in this show. 1 hour and 40 minutes for overall.
Okay,
we'd love to talk with
strength.
You. Let's go right here and talk with Mary, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Mary, you're on with Steve Artiber, Milan Yurkovich, and Dr. Jill Hubbard. How can we help you today? Mary. Are you there, Mary? Oh, that's just so sad.
Hello, still here.
Hi, Mary.
Oh, yay.
There you go.
Hi,
how
I'm
can we
sorry.
Help today? Yeah, no problem. Glad
okay.
you picked up.
So, I am newly in recovery, 3 years.
Yeah. Okay.
My husband is an alcoholic as well. He chose not to do recovery, but he quit drinking. Things started turning pretty bad in the home, you know, with me trying to stay sober and him not. I wound up taking a break from the marriage and coming to our beach home. And as when I left, I was gone for about a month, and he filed for divorce. And we've been married 15 years. And now it's been about 4 months, and I found out that he is now seeing another woman. And this is the pain that I'm going through. I don't know if it's because I'm codependent, because I was doing pretty well. Until I found out, you know, I think that in the back of my mind, I thought maybe he might turn around and want to come back or want to get help. And now he has just moved on and is now with another woman.
Yeah. So tell me the reason for your call. What are you hoping we could help
you
with?
Just maybe to help me get a grasp on my emotions. I've been doing very
okay.
well.
Well, hold on.
Just very.
Let me just say this. I don't know I don't know that getting a grasp on your emotions would be helpful, because
okay.
it might cause you to feel better about the situation okay. when, you know, we want you to feel strong. And maybe
right.
even a little bit of anger to drive you to do things to protect yourself and
right.
to get what is fair, because he knows you're codependent. And
yeah,
when
he's
a
keeping
person,
finances from me, everything.
Well, that's because you don't have an attorney.
No, I have an attorney.
How can he keep finances from you
he
if you have
order to pay support and he's not paying it?
Okay,
we have
so,
a business and everything together.
Okay. So then your attorney does
mm-hmm.
what needs to be done to be sure that those payments get made.
Okay.
I don't understand when he doesn't pay why you wouldn't be right on the phone with that attorney saying, okay, he didn't pay.
I am. She was away on vacation, and you know,
okay.
And the thing is, I am codependent. When we had a business together, and you know, through
yeah.
the process, he's in control of everything right now, and
right.
he's withholding funds from me.
Okay, so here's the deal: you have kind of ceased to exist in his mind, and he's wanting you to kind of not exist in reality. He wants you to be your codependent self. Don't.
Mm-hmm.
cause problems, take the easy way, and hope and pray he's going to get better. And he will take advantage of that all the way through this. You need a very strong attorney so that
okay.
he must come face to face with consequences of his behavior. And if you guys
okay.
have a beach home, you probably have some pretty good resources there, financial resources, and he doesn't want you to have those. And you deserve
yeah,
those. You've been married 15 years. You deserve that.
Right.
So before the emotions, I'll let Mylon and Jill address the emotions, but I want you to have a strategy of being nice, being codependent is not going to be helpful to me at this stage of my life right now.
Okay. So let me say along those lines, it's really important, Mary, that you hear what Steve is saying. But there's two parallel processes that happen as you're going through this. One is what Steve is talking about. It's everything legally. It isn't about how you feel, unfortunately. Everything is reduced to money, and you need to try to keep the emotion out of that and do what your attorney says so that you can fight that side of the battle. The other side is all of the emotions that you're feeling, the loss, the grief, the not wanting your marriage to end. You were trying to make it better, and he wasn't willing, so he just cut and pasted you out and put someone else in your spot so that he doesn't have to feel bad. So there's all of that. So that's where you need to be walking with some people. Be in therapy. Go to a CODA group. Get support around you where you can stomp your feet and cry and talk about all the emotions of it, right? So that's happening. And your wishes for it not to end. All of those things. While you're taking care of yourself, because he has filed, so you have to step up to that or you will lose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mind anything you want to add while the music's playing here?
While the music is playing, Mary, do you have children?
Not with him. No, I don't.
Okay.
We don't have any children together. No, we don't.
Okay, so you're going to have to, but your children have had them as a stepfather. Is that correct?
Yes, they have.
Okay, so what's going to be important is for you to find a great sanctuary for you and your children to be able to have other support and around them a loving, caring, nurturing environment. Okay.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk more after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and I'll just mention this. You know, when a person stops alcohol and doesn't start recovery, well, you need something to intoxicate yourself. Well, what could be more intoxicating than a nice little affair that your wife has no idea you're having? I mean, we just see it all the time. You give up the bottle, you go to a body, and it's just the same thing in a different form. And if you're doing that, we can help you with that if you'll call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Into our studio is the man who's helped more people have new life than just about anybody I know, Larry Sonnenberg. How are you, and what do you have for us today?
Steve, doing really well. Couple things, real quick. We did Every Man's Battle online last Saturday, and it went really well. The counselors are always surprised, I think, that the men connect as well as they do in group, and things go well. But I want to talk about the next one, the Courageous Parenting, coming up this Saturday. And I have a testimony from a past Courageous Parenting. I think it was a different title, but it's the Adult Children Workshop.
What did they say?
They said, Steve Arterburn just says it like it is. No sugarcoating the circumstances or requirements for action. On the part of the parent and the adult child 11 years ago, I had to show my son the door. I lost 20 family relationships.
There he is, ringing the doorbell to get back
see?
In.
Yeah. That was on cue.
Yeah.
No one has ever...
Sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. No one has ever validated my actions until I heard Steve today. Now I have some work to do with my daughter.
Good.
So
right.
Don't sugarcoat it, Steve. Keep it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when people say, you know, you haven't really helped anybody, I'm going to keep that text right there. Anyway, maybe your doorbell isn't ringing because the kids are upset and angry and you don't know how to rebuild the bridge. We can help you with that this Saturday. All you do is call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and it's going to be a great, great time. Hope you'll join us. Larry, what else do you have?
Thank you, everybody who is giving. Our matching fund this morning is down to just under $17,000.
Well, there you go. Thank you, everybody.
We had a good mail day today. I think it will be matched. Not today, for sure tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it took a little longer than we'd hoped, but, you know, God's hand is in all this, and we're not, no bad feelings for anything. We're just grateful for the people who gave the seed money, the people who supported it. And we're grateful for you as you consider a gift. Your gift means we get to do what we do, and God is blessing it. So thank
Amen.
You.
Well, you know, every man's battle was on Saturday, and I think there are some wives shocked at the progress that was made on that day. It doesn't do everything. You have to follow up. I think some are saddened that it, you know, maybe they didn't truly understand all that was said or weren't motivated, whatever. Sometimes it takes others longer. And if you're disappointed, keep praying, hang in there. But if they did the online and that didn't seem to impact them, they can still come in September and do face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
But every marriage, when a guy comes and he's married, every marriage has a chance to succeed because of the great support that we get from great people. And I thank you for that. We couldn't be here, wouldn't be here without you.
You know what I love, Larry and Steve?
What?
And Jill, is when people give money to New Life, it's not spent on lavish things. It's not wasted and squandered. I remember last week, Steve, you said, we're going to sponsor somebody, and you just made a decision right there to sponsor a caller who had called in to go to one of our workshops, and there's a generosity here. And so some of the money that people give is given to other people, and then this airtime is very expensive for you to even listen to us.
Yeah.
So there's good stewardship here, and I just want you to know that.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. If you can help, want to help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, you'll just be part of some really amazing things that are going to happen over the last half of this year and into next year. We'll go back to the phones now. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. And how about we go to George? He watches our program on the NRB cable network, and we're sure glad that he does. Hi, George. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. How can we help today? What's going on in your neck of the woods?
I think my pastor is mentally ill.
Oh, that's rough. What's going on? Why do you think that? What's he doing?
Because he plays the same music every weekend. And he never says hi to the congregation.
Well, do other people think this, or is anybody else talking about it but you?
I think they're in denial.
Really? Oh, man, that's rough. Well, is he married?
Yes.
Are you married?
I'm single.
Single, okay. Well, you know, it'd be nice if someone reached out to his wife to see how, you know, she may see it and feel it and, like everybody else, doesn't know what to do. What church, what kind of denomination are you in?
Pentecostal.
Pentecostal, okay. Well, let's see if Jill or Mylon have any thoughts on what might be a good next step to help in that church and your pastor.
George, how do you think we could help you with that? Tell us what your question is of us.
By not going there into that church no more.
Okay, so how can we help you today?
I just want to know if it's true that he's schizophrenic.
I have no idea. Yeah. We couldn't tell. We would not be able to know the answer to that.
I talked to my case manager, and he said he's doing it on his own.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think getting feedback from other people is an important thing. So whenever we're at a church and we don't like something in leadership, there are lots of people that we could go to. We could go to an associate pastor. We could go to a deacon or an elder.
That's
or
right.
Somebody else in leadership to maybe run the concerns by someone and to let them know how it's impacting you. And then people in your world, George, like you said, you have a case manager. That's a good person to run things by because that person is invested in helping you with your life and how you see things. And so, and that is true that sometimes we spend a season at a place and it no longer meets our needs, and so we may find that we move on to a different place.
But that can also be a loss to George,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
Where this
well,
could have been
sure.
a family, he could have felt comfortable there, and so there's also the possibility of that. But I agree with you, sometimes we just have to make those changes, acknowledge the reality,
right.
and ask, can I live there any longer? And sometimes
here's
we
what
can't.
Here's my suggestion, is that you see if the pastor would go to breakfast or lunch with you or a cup of coffee with you. Just call the whoever's the running the show there during the week and ask if you could have an appointment with the pastor. Mm-hmm. And maybe the third time you have coffee or breakfast with him and he sees that he can trust you, maybe you're able to say something helpful to him. Like, do you realize that we're doing the same song every Sunday? Or have you ever wondered if things could be better in your life? And you could give them our 800 number. Maybe in doing this that you develop a relationship with his wife where she sees that you care about him and she tells you, I need help in getting him help. I do like the idea of going to elders, deacons, anybody in leadership, but also maybe no one is reaching out to him. Maybe he resists at every turn, and with your persistence, you might be the one to have some influence on him. And wouldn't that be great if your concern turned into one day you're able to say, here's a resource that could help you. The problem with dementia and that old brain not working like it used to is many people aren't aware of it, or they don't acknowledge it because they're scared to death and they just don't want to hear the reality. They're so afraid and they need somebody that they can count on that's not going to quote unquote turn on them. And you could be that to him. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Come join us for this parenting workshop this weekend. I think it's going to be really good. And Jill and I, we're going to be there. We want you to be there. And, you know, emotional freedom is going to be August 20th. We'd love to see you there also.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. 1-800-229-3000. We can get to your call in the next hour if we don't now. And we're going to be here another hour and 15 minutes. 1-800-229-3000. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, Steve Arterburn here for you. Let's go to Susan, Birmingham, Alabama. Great station, WNIV. Hi, Susan. How are you today?
Hi, I could be better, actually. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for serving the hurt community at large.
Oh, you're it's our joy. We love doing this.
Through your wonderful ministry, I've benefited greatly. I don't know where to start, but I'll try. This is a follow-up call. Calling regarding our 35-year-old adopted daughter, who also, during her time in college, had some physical abuse by the father of her son. She's a single parent. And a call before was, my husband and I, we've had great concern. It's just very persistent, and we don't know what to do, because she has had counseling. She says she's fine. But her actions speak very differently, because she's in and out of relationships like you wouldn't believe. When one ends, she's already in another relationship.
Yeah. Okay.
And the unfortunate of all of this is that she brings her relationship in so that her son actually is involved in the relationship, although my husband and I have begged her not to involve him in her relationship, particularly when she doesn't know that they're going to last. And she insists on doing it. So my question is, how do we love that little guy so much? How do we help buffer him and the pain that he's going to get from this experience?
Yeah. I'm really glad that you called.
Of having all these guys in and out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you called, because every bit of dating advice we ever give anyone is not to introduce your kids to the person you're dating until you're pretty secure that you guys are getting engaged and married, unless some big thing happens. And so, how sad for him. Mm-hmm. Let's start with you, Mylan, and then Jill. What do you think is the appropriate action now?
Well, Mylan, you can go, but I'm just curious, how old is your grandson?
Seven.
Oh, seven.
He just turned seven.
Okay, thanks.
Well, Susan, how old was your daughter when you adopted her?
At 6 months old.
Okay. And what we know is that so much happens to a child before, in utero. We don't know what the nature is of the mother who carried her and then birthed her, then chose to give her away, or the emotional atmosphere of that home. But your daughter also has proven that the first person she picked was not a good choice either. That is the father of her son. You know, he is abusive. He is not good to her. And so the ability to sit down with your daughter, I would think number one would be able to say, do you realize you're a serial dater? You are a serial relationship person. And what that means is when she lets go of another one, has another one in line, that means she can't be alone. She hasn't learned to be alone, and she can't tolerate a disconnection. And that speaks to her history as well, because what's an adoption? It's a disconnection. And so I would really want to meet with her, you and her husband, and just say, and maybe even have her listen to this show, and to be able to say, what's happening to your son and you taking him through this is just not going to be good for you or your son. And the biggest danger on top of this is if she's sexually active with these men, that's going to be another very, very dangerous place for her to be, at which point in time...
She says she's not always sexually active. And I would want to interject that the child's father, he sees his dad every other week, because he has 1 week with mom, 1 week with dad. And dad has changed his life around. He's now given his life to Christ some 5 years ago.
Excellent. That is so good to hear. That is super. But you're going to have to sit down with your daughter and say that this serial dating with this. And you said she's not always sexually active. You just said that. I believe I heard you say that. But that means that she is sometimes sexually active, and that is really an unhealthy lifestyle. And because it's going to be damaging to everybody, including her son, et cetera.
Jill, go ahead, Jill.
Well, I'm wondering what you guys think about this. Okay, it sounds, Susan, like you get to spend a lot of time with your grandson.
We do.
Okay, so that's good. And so, you know, he's seven. Seven-year-olds can observe things and be aware. And so sometimes talking to him about his family. Who are the people in your family? You know, when you go to school, you always have to do those family charts and things that you share. Who's in your family?
Yeah.
And kind of almost like help him articulate all the people he can truly count on. He can count on his grandparents. Okay, he can count on his dad, it sounds like, right? He, you know, who else is consistent? Okay, mom. And then to talk about how we have people in our lives that we count on and that help take care of us. And then we have people in our lives that come and go. And those are sometimes friends that are here for a while, but then they don't always stay. And kind of to help, my idea is to kind of give him an idea of the difference so that he doesn't invest his heart in the revolving door. And you can say, like, you can count on your mom, but, you know, your mom has lots of friends. And she has lots of guys that come and go that are just her friends. But then they move on, and so they're fun, and you can have fun with them. But here are the people that are going to be here long term.
I like that. The other thing is, you don't want to do something to jeopardize having a place in his life. I would
exactly
right.
But if you come to understand that things are getting much worse, let's say, you know, you find out, yeah, these guys are coming and they're staying all weekend, or, you know, just worse and worse, you might have to risk losing privileges to get the right thing for him. Do you have a relationship with his dad?
That's where my husband is. That's where my husband is, because this new guy is already staying there.
Okay, so see, that's a different phone call than what we've been talking about here. There's a guy staying with her. So, do you have a relationship with her ex?
Yes, we do.
Well, I think I'd be talking to her ex about, what do you think are the options? You, your husband, and him. Because that is not good for a seven-year-old little boy. That's not good. So I think it's time that you let your husband have some influence here, that he might be more on track than you. Because you have a tendency to make, you want things to just work out, and you want things to look better than they actually are, right?
Yeah.
Because you didn't call us to say, there's a man living with my daughter, and she has a seven-year-old son. I'm glad you called. If you want to join us on the next program, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Thanks to all of you who support us and let us be here for those who struggle. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.